to hit you in the heel. You got one or the other. I know what you would say. Well, don't hit me anyway. No, it's got to be one or the other. You would say, well, hit me in the heel. That's going to hurt, but it's not going to be as devastating as if someone hit you in the head. And so we focus, rightfully so, on the right thing. Jesus wins. He's going to smash the head of Satan. But friends, I want you to read this with me again, and we're going to focus on a different part of this passage today. And I understand that we've read this many, 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 many times, but would you do me a favor? Would you pretend like this is the first time you've ever read this passage? Knowing what we know about Satan, knowing what we know about our Savior, let's read this passage together again. Verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He, Jesus, will bruise your head, Satan. Now watch the rest of it. And let's focus on this last phrase. You shall bruise his heel. Have you ever thought about what that one phrase entails? That Satan would bruise the heel of our Savior. Now, that's one thing I love about the Bible. It can take one phrase, and that phrase is developed throughout the rest of the Bible. When God simply makes a statement, he will bruise the heel of Jesus. Do you know what that means? It is through this bruising that our Savior would become ready to become the captain of our salvation. Let's do a favor together. Let's trace this bruising for just a couple of moments. Let's trace this bruising. That one word bruise summarizes so much agony on the part of our Savior. Let's go to Isaiah 53 now. As we continue to trace this phrase, he will bruise the heel of Jesus. We won't read all of this because we don't have time to do so. But let's look at Isaiah chapter 53. This is the great chapter of the suffering Savior, describing our Savior and what he would have to go through to become our captain. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. No form of comeliness. When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Watch verse 3. Here's the bruising. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There's the bruise. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. There's the bruise. And he was despised, and we did not esteem him. There's the bruise. He has borne our griefs. There's the bruise. He carried our sorrows. There's the bruise. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There's the bruising. All of these things happened because Jesus was in preparation to become the captain of our salvation. He did this then for what you and I did. There's the bruising. And if that weren't enough, perhaps the worst thing I've ever read in my life, the psalmist talked about and he described the attitude of our Savior, the feeling of our Savior. He prophesied what it would be. And this is what he would say. Psalm 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Did that come true? Remember what Jesus said while he was on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Friends, I want you to think about that. Centuries before Jesus literally went to the cross, he was thinking about what someday he was going to have to do. And he inspired the psalmist to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? From the moment man sinned, and really even before the foundations of the world, it was known and foretold 4,000 years before it would ever happen what he must do. When Jesus looked down from heaven, when he saw the bloods of the bulls and the goats, it should have been a reminder to every person who was living in that time, somebody has to die for the sin I commit. When Jesus looked down, every time he saw an innocent bull and goat die, he knew there was nothing special about that bull and goat. He knew that it represented what he one day was going to have to do for you and for me. And he knew it all along. He knew he was preparing to become the captain of your salvation. And then the preparation would be fulfilled. Everything that was prophesied about him and more happened to him. He was beaten. He was humiliated. He was hated. All of these things, but also other things. Sometimes we don't think about these things. Do you know that Jesus Christ knows what it's like to bury a loved one? He would have never had to feel that if you and I hadn't sinned. Do you know Jesus, our Savior, knew what it was like to have people gossip about him? He would have never had to know that if he didn't have to come to be our captain. Do you know Jesus knew what it was like to suffer? How does that make you feel? Our friends in the first century, as they were watching what our Savior was going through, they should have recognized what was coming to a head. They should have recognized what was happening to Jesus and what this was prophesied for centuries. I say they should have recognized because so many times they didn't recognize it at all. Get your Bibles. Let's look at a couple passages. These people had come to accept so much about our Savior. They believed so much, but it seemed that they faltered when it came to the sufferings of Christ. This cannot happen. You're supposed to be perfect. You're supposed to be the Messiah. You're supposed to be our captain. What do you mean you have to suffer for us? This does not make sense. This does not come into my plan. Let's go to Matthew 16. We talked about this here last week. Let's just touch on it again. Matthew 16. I say they should have recognized what Jesus was going through, but so many times they didn't. Matthew 16, starting with verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He's telling them, hey, I'm getting ready to start what I came here to do. I'm getting ready to go to Jerusalem. I'm getting ready to suffer. I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to do my whole purpose. Peter should have recognized that. It was prophesied. He was going to be despised. He was going to be bruised. We were going to be healed with his stripes. But watch what Peter does. The next verse, verse 22. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Lord, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto you. This is not part of my plan, Peter says. These things shall not happen to you. This cannot happen. You cannot go to Jerusalem because if you do, you will suffer. You cannot go to Jerusalem because if you do, you will be killed. You should not go to Jerusalem. This cannot happen to you, my Lord. And then we go to Matthew 26. Another beautiful passage showing how that even his disciples did not fully understand what it meant when it said, you will bruise his heel. They were against this. Matthew 26, start with verse 51. We just sang about this, as a matter of fact. Matthew 26, look at verse 51. This is the account when Jesus was in the garden. The Roman soldiers were now coming to arrest him. Let's see what happens. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand. We know from John 18:10 that that's Peter. Peter stretches out his hand. He drew his sword, and he struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. He does not want Jesus to have to be bruised. Yeah, I must be bruised. No, Jesus, do not be bruised. I don't want anything to happen to you. Watch what Jesus said. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Then verse 53, Do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Do you not know, Peter, that if I wanted to right now, I could pray to my God, and he would send legions and legions and legions of angels, and they would take care of all of this? All I would have to do is just say the word. But Peter, I can't just say the word. And you know why? Because this is my purpose for coming to this earth. And then John 13. Perhaps no other passage shows the fact that that bruising should bother us than this great passage. I want you to read something with me. And, you know, we give Peter such a hard time so many times because he was so presumptuous sometimes. He was the first to speak. But look at John chapter 13. You remember it was this, Jesus knowing that his time had come when he would depart out of this world. You remember he got up and he put a towel around his waist. He girded himself as a servant and he began to wash the feet of the disciples. Verse 5. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now verse 6. Maybe you've never noticed this, but watch verse 6. Then he came to Simon Peter. Now, you got to see something here. He had already washed some of the disciples' feet. He began to wash, and then, you see what I'm saying here? I don't know how many. Could have been one, two, could have been 11. I don't know, but my point is this. Jesus began. He had already washed some of the disciples' feet, and then he came to Simon Peter. And watch what happens when he comes to Simon Peter. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Now, I asked you to pay attention to that because there's a point there. Why was Peter quiet when Jesus was humiliating himself for all of the other disciples and washing their feet? Not a word did he speak. But all of a sudden now, when he comes to the feet of Peter, Peter says, Lord, do you think you're going to wash my feet? You shall never wash my feet. Why silent when he was washing the feet of the other disciples, but yet when he came and stooped there before Peter and began to take Peter's foot in his hand and began to wash the feet, it was at that point that Peter resisted and said, Lord, you're not going to do this to me. We often give Peter a hard time. But I think I have an idea of what Peter must have been feeling at this point. When I read the passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, I think that's a wonderful thing, and I know you do too. But when I make it personal, it hurts just a little bit. Jesus, you can humiliate yourself for other people, but I don't want you to do it for me. Can you kind of relate to that just a little bit? Let me give you an illustration. Suppose you were on a cruise ship, and the captain of that ship was steering that thing along, and all of a sudden, because of his own mistake, he hits an iceberg. And he hits that thing and the ship begins to sink. Now, whose fault was it? It was his fault, right? And so if there was only room on those lifeboats for everybody but him, it would hurt me just a little bit to pull away from those lifeboats and watch that captain go down with the ship. That would hurt. I wouldn't want to see that, would you? But after all, it really was your fault. So if anybody should die, it should be you. Let's take that same cruise ship. Let's take the same scenario. But now there that captain is doing his responsibility at the helm of that ship. And for whatever reason, you should not be in that bridge, but you go there anyway. And as you go there, you begin to run around, or for whatever reason, you bump into that captain. And you cause him to steer the ship. It's now all your fault. You cause him to steer that ship into that iceberg. And now the ship begins to sink. But now it's not the captain's fault. It's yours. Same scenario. On those lifeboats is room for everybody except one person. Now, I want to ask you something. Had it been your fault that ship was sinking, all those lifeboats fill up until we get to the one last spot. And then there you are standing next to the captain. Who would you want to go? I know what you would do. You would say, "Captain, it's all my fault. You deserve to get on that lifeboat." And you think that's what's going to happen. You and the captain walk towards that lifeboat, but instead of the captain getting on, he takes you and he puts you in that seat. How are you going to feel now as you leave that ship and you watch the captain go down with the ship? Does that change things just a little bit? You see, it hurts me just a little when I think that Jesus died for all of the world, but it hurts me a lot when I contemplate that Jesus died for me. And when you read the Bible, if you don't see that, you need to read it a little bit harder. Now, I don't mean to sound mean when I say this, but friend, you sank your own ship, but Jesus died for you anyway. Jesus became the captain of your salvation by his suffering and his death. You think he loves you just a little bit? He loves you more than we even know. Now, did he do his part? Absolutely he did. But let's now make the application and let's look at it from our side now. Friend, if you look and contemplate and see what Jesus did, not for everybody, although he did, but what he did for you and what he did for me, here's the response that it should generate within your soul. Lord, as my captain, whatever you say, I'm prepared to do. Just before he left, he said, "All authority has been given unto me both on heaven and on earth. I now have all authority." I want to ask you this question. Jesus is the captain of salvation. He stands ready to take you safely where he is. As a matter of fact, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Oh, he stands ready to take you safely home with him. But it takes you also. Have you submitted your whole being unto the captain? It's a lot more than just saying, "Yeah, I believe in him. I really appreciate it." Are you doing in your life what he commands you to do? Can we quickly go through just those commands? And I'm going to read them to you from the Bible so you know it's not just me, it's what the Bible says. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Everything that we're going to need to know to allow him to be our captain, we can find in the word. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." He went on to say, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Those sins that you committed that caused the heel of Jesus to be bruised, are you sorry for those, and are you wanting to turn away? And then he says, whosoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Are you ready to make the good confession today? Are you ready with your very own lips to say, I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God? And then will you be baptized into Christ? Did you know it's at baptism that we come in contact with his death, that we come in contact with his blood? Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. We are baptized with him into his death. And watch it. That like as Christ was buried and was raised from the dead and walked in newness of life, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Are you ready to be buried with your Lord today? When you're buried, you'll leave the old man down. A new man will arise. And you'll walk with Jesus the rest of the way. Saul of Tarsus had been praying, repenting for 3 days, and finally the preacher got impatient, as we sometimes do, and he says, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and listen to this, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I'd like to have your sins washed away today. Friends, this is what your captain wants you to do. Let me tell you something. He has every right in the world to tell me, doesn't he? He earned it. Will you follow him? Will you begin today? How we do it here is as we stand and sing this song, we're going to give you the opportunity to come forward. You can have a seat in the front pew. We'll take care of your need. We'll talk about your need and then take care of it. If you need to be baptized today, we'll be glad to do that. If you just need further study, we would love to do that with you. Perhaps you just need the prayers of this church. Whatever it is, will you come to your captain today while together we stand and sing this song?